You're listening to The Oddscast, the original UFC betting podcast that's straight to the point. Hosted by leading MMA oddsmaker Nick Kalikas and MMA journalist Brian Heminger, they provide you the absolute best UFC betting info, picks, statistics, and analysis from the most respected authority in mixed martial arts betting. MMAoddsbreaker.com. Don't place your wagers without us.
Welcome to the Oddscast, presented by BetDSI. I'm Brian Heminger, joined today by leading mixed martial arts oddsmaker Nick Kalikas to break down this Saturday's UFC 242 event, which takes place in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates. If you're unfamiliar with our format, Nick and I will break down the fight card from top to bottom, providing extensive analysis and a pick for each fight after doing our film study for the event. Looking back at our last event, Kyle Marley's premium bets for UFC on ESPN plus 15 won 4 units overall. Kyle has his bets and fantasy MMA picks available now on MMAoddsbreaker.com. Back to the present, UFC 242 features a 13-fight card in total and will be aired on ESPN Fight Pass, FX, and pay-per-view this Saturday afternoon. Let's dive right in. Now, kicking things off on Fight Pass is a lightweight contest between Don Madge, who is 8-3-1, and Ferris Ziem, who is 10-2. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Madge opened minus 350, the comeback on Ziem at plus 250. And right now, looking over at betdsi.eu, we're looking currently at Madge at minus 179, the comeback on Ziem at plus 147. So line margins have tightened up, more action coming in on Ziem. Rightfully so. I mean, there's no question this is going to be an outstanding fight. It's going to be a great fight, and there's a lot of similarities between the two of these guys. I mean, both of them are well-rounded fighters, but both of them prefer to stand and bang, and both of them have some skill on the feet. They have knockout power. They have, like I said, some little bit of length to go with that, of course, as well. Precision striking, that killer instinct. On the ground, they have a little bit of wrestling to go along with some decent ground and pound and submission skill. So they're similar. Obviously, there's some differences as well. I think that Madge is a little bit farther ahead. He's a little bit more complete as a fighter at this stage in the game. That's why he should be the rightful favorite. But at the opening line at minus 350, that's ridiculous. So that's why the dog actually did come in on Ziem. And I still think it's a dog or pass situation, to be honest with you, because I think both these guys have what it takes to get in there, mix it up well, hurt each other a little bit. And I don't trust laying the chalk against a guy like Ziem, because the guy's talented. He does get in some problems on the ground at times. You are able to get to opposition, maybe take his back and get him, you know, some trouble there. At times, that's still a little bit of a flaw. I'm not sure if Madge is going to be able to dominate him on the ground or kind of expose that weakness, though, as well. So I think this is stylistically a really good fight for both men. I think it's going to be an exciting fight to start the card off, and it's going to be a dog or pass situation for me. So I'm going to pick Madge to win because, again, I think he's just a little bit further ahead right now of Ziem, but there's no way I'm confident enough to lay that chalk against a guy like Ziem. So the pick is Madge, but be careful. It's a dog or pass situation.
Yeah, this should definitely be an intriguing fight. I mean, Madge really impressed me in his UFC debut. I thought that he had a chance against Tay Edwards because he was an experienced kickboxer, and then he went out and destroyed Tay Edwards in 14 seconds of the second round. Just a beautiful performance. So, you know, this is a guy that clearly has a lot of talent, and he fought to the best of it in that UFC debut. It couldn't have gone any better when he earned that performance of the night bonus. Ziem, this is, you know, this is a almost like a little bit of a mirror match. I mean, both guys are talented strikers, both have a bit of wrestling, and both have their own issues. So while Ziem does have decent takedowns, and that could definitely put the fight in his favor, I think my biggest issue is his defense. I think offensively, you know, they both can dish it out, but Ziem's a little bit more hittable than Madge. And Madge is, you know, he's a guy that can really put a hurt on people if he finds an opening. And I think that with Ziem getting hit more often during the course of this fight, I think that will open up the window for a fight-ending combination from Madge. So, you know, I'm a fan of Madge. I really was impressed with what he was able to do in that UFC debut, and I think that he can keep that momentum rolling. So I'm actually gonna side with Madge. I think that he stays unbeaten in the UFC and gets another impressive performance. I think that not only can he get the win, I think that he can kick the UFC off with a knockout potentially. So Maj is going to be my pick. Now, moving up to the middleweight division, we have Zach Cummings, who is 23-6, taking on Omari Akhmedov, who is 18-4-1. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Akhmedov opened -185, the comeback on Cummings at +145. Right now, what we're seeing over at BetDSI is Akhmedov all the way down to -128, the comeback on Cummings at +107. Another dog or pass situation for sure at the opening window. And you know what? No doubt that it's the right way to go as far as I think value side goes. Now, this is going to be another good fight, competitive fight. I think Akhmedov has improved quite a bit, you know, obviously throughout his UFC career. He's finally kind of hit a groove. He's got some confidence. His conditioning is getting a little bit better. You can tell some improvements have been made defensively. And of course, obviously offensively, he's always been a bit of a threat. I mean, the guy has some power. He's got some good wrestling as well. So he's a pretty solid fighter, but again, it's his defense. He's a bit chinny at times, and his conditioning in the past has kind of hindered him a little bit. And with Cummings, you get more of a solid, complete, you know what you're getting. I mean, he's always going to come to fight. He's always going to come prepared, and he can hang and compete against the highest level fighters and do really well against them. So, I mean, this is definitely going to be a tough test for Akhmedov to try to get over the obstacle that will be Cummings in front of him here, because I think Cummings still has enough left. He's been around the sport for a long time, but he still has enough left in the tank. Obviously, he's back on a couple fight win streak now. He's been looking good since he's moved up in weight class as well, and he is the more complete, the more steady fighter overall, I think. Even though Akhmedov will give him some problems. I mean, like I said, Akhmedov is dangerous on the feet, has some good wrestling, but I think anything that Akhmedov throws at Cummings, Cummings is going to be able to handle and actually be a little bit more steady and a little bit more consistent. And I think he ends up marking, obviously, Akhmedov up as the fight progresses a little bit and maybe possibly finishing it as well by knockout. I could see that. I could see maybe some of the glaring defense or some of the chin that it has held up a little bit recently kind of go back the other way, because Cummings has some underrated power as well. If it hits the scorecards, I do believe that Cummings can win on the cards. It probably will be a competitive decision, 29-28, maybe a split decision type of fight, but I do think Cummings is the way to go here as well. So all the dog action is pretty much justified in my opinion, and I'm going to pick Cummings to win straight out, and any plus money in him probably still holds a little bit of value.
Yeah, this is an intriguing battle between a pair of guys that have fought at welterweight but have found some success at middleweight. Now, Akhmedov is a very strong starter, but his biggest issue is he throws hard, he can get takedowns, he's strong with top position, but he does not have the best conditioning. So most often it's him winning the first two rounds, and then he's holding on in that third round trying to survive and win the decision. He's not much of a finisher, although he does have some power if you leave an opening, whether it's a ground and pound or a big haymaker on the feet. Cummings, on the other hand, is just a really well-rounded fighter. I mean, he hits all – he has – pretty solid overall boxing and striking technique. He has decent takedown defense, and he has a very strong ground game. So, this is a guy that you can't sleep on, because if you make a mistake, he has the ability to take advantage in just about every facet of MMA. Even though he's not particularly fast or athletic, he's skilled just about everywhere. So I think that's where Akhmedov is going to have some trouble. Yes, I expect Akhmedov to win the first round, but I think after the first round, it's going to become more and more difficult for Akhmedov to get takedowns. I think Cummings can reverse some of those takedown attempts and potentially, sweep or get top position. I think he can threaten off of his back if he does get taken down. And I think on the feet, Cummings has a good enough chin to eat some of Akhmedov's best shots. And then when they're trading, Akhmedov, he is not nearly as durable as Cummings, so I think if he eats a couple shots, he could get himself in a little bit of trouble. And then as this fight wears on, Cummings is the better conditioned fighter, I believe, as well. So I think everything in this fight points to it being close early, with the meter tipping towards Cummings in the second and third rounds. So like Nick, I agree that Cummings can win a decision, a 29-28 type of decision. But I also could see Cummings getting a finish in this fight in the second or third rounds as Akhmedov starts to slow down. So as those takedowns become tougher to grab onto, and as as those hands get a little heavy, I can see Akhmedov dropping his hands late, and then Cummings landing a big bomb and potentially getting a late finish as well. So I'm also going to be picking Zach Cummings to get the victory. Now, dropping down to the welterweight division, we have Nordine Talib, who is 15-6, taking on Muslim Salikov, who is 14-2. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Salikov opened -195, the comeback on Talib at +155. Right now, what you're seeing over at BetDSI is Talib the favorite, -128, Salikov +107, so line flipped. Not really that surprised there either. I mean, obviously, Talib is the more experienced fighter in the UFC. He's faced a lot of solid competition. He got back on track after a two-fight losing skid. And it's tough to tell with a guy like Talib because you don't know when that decline spot's kind of hit with him. But overall, the guy's had a pretty impressive UFC career thus far. I mean, I think he's overachieved. He's overperformed. He's beaten, some solid competition. And I think he's opened up some eyes and people believe he's a very solid, capable fighter. And he's basically what you call kind of a gatekeeper for the welterweight division. If you beat a guy like Talib, you're definitely on the upper tier of the welterweights for sure. So this is going to be a really good test for Salikov in this spot here. Salikov, of course, coming off of a solid win over Rainey, he needed to bounce back. Garcia was able to expose him on the ground a little bit in his UFC debut officially. But Salikov, what you get is a very obviously seasoned fighter in his own right, but more of a striking-based fighter. He's a strong fighter. He's slick. He's got accuracy. He can knock you out with a kick. He can knock you out with his hands as well. He's got that killer instinct. So he's your typical Russian fighter that has decent takedown defense and is just a devastating striker. So this is going to be a very fun fight, I think, across the board overall. But again, it's going to come down to whether Talib can kind of utilize his experience, his skill overall, get some takedowns here. Because if this stays on the feet, even though Talib is a very capable fighter, he's got knockout power, he doesn't want to sit there and exchange with a guy like Salikov. I think Salikov can knock him out. So it's all going to depend on where this fight takes place, whether Talib can get this fight to the ground and utilize some of his wrestling and the ground advantage that he does have, or Salikov does get the knockout. So as far as a pick goes, I'm going to lean a little bit more towards Talib. And again, the action at the dog price was definitely the right way to go because he is the more experienced fighter. But again, it's not a confident pick, and you got to be cautious here now because I wouldn't necessarily lay a lot of chalk in this fight, even at a pick 'em type of price, because I think Salikov is dangerous enough if he's able to keep this on the feet. Again, even though Talib has some decent striking, Salikov will probably catch him and knock him out. If not, he'll outpoint him on the feet as well. So with all that said, still, the advantage does have to side slightly with Talib. I think he is the better fighter, more experienced fighter, and I think he's smart enough to know what he has to do here. So, not confidently, but I'm going to pick Talib to get the job done here.
The hype was really strong behind Salikov when he made his UFC debut because out of all of his wins, he had had just a bunch of them by spinning kicks. This is a guy that was flashy, but he kind of had that hype derailed in that UFC debut because Alex Garcia took him down repeatedly and then ended up getting a submission. Now, the UFC brought in Ricky Rainey, somebody that, was much more likely to stand and just eat those strikes in his next bout. And Salikov ended up, getting the knockout, which was what, obviously the UFC was hoping he would do. But an issue is, obviously, he hasn't fought in 17 months because of drug test issues. So I say, it has not gone as planned with Salikov. They were definitely hoping that this would be a guy that would make a big flashy entrance in the UFC, some kind of big crazy spinning attack knockout, and then, they could just start putting him in highlight-type fights. But instead, now he's kind of stuck on the undercard against, a bit of a gatekeeper in Nordine Talib, as Nick mentioned. And Talib is just a solid, well-rounded guy. He's not, a super powerful striker. He's not a particularly flashy type of fighter. He's more of a everyman type of fighter where, he's pretty good at everything. He's got decent ability on the ground. He's solid, if not above average on the feet, I would say. He's pretty well conditioned. He does everything pretty good. And it's going to be that everything that is going to have to factor into this fight because Salikov being a really flashy, striker with power, I think in a pure one-on-one stand-up fight, I would favor Salikov. But with this being MMA, and as evidenced by Salikov's issues that he had in his UFC debut, I think the game plan has been already created for how to defeat him. Because you have to take him out of his element, whether it's put him in the fence, get him on the ground, put him on his back, just anything to kind of avoid those open space options where he can close the distance with an explosive strike, some kind of spinning attack or back fist or whatever. Taleb knows what he needs to do. It's just all about executing it. And I think that, he is definitely a smart fighter that trains with a good gym, and has, obviously Firas Zahabi will be able to create the game plan that he can execute and take advantage of and get the victory. So, I definitely feel like Taleb has the skills to take advantage of that. And, Salikov, as dangerous as he is, as long as Taleb doesn't give him that space, I think that he is going to get exposed again potentially. So, now there's always going to be the possibility that he does land that big shot before Taleb can close the distance, but, and Taleb isn't exactly known for being a really strong ground fighter. He doesn't have the explosive takedowns that Alex Garcia possesses. So I think it'll be a little bit more difficult for Taleb to close the distance and get this fight to the ground. So there's always going to be the chance that Salikov can get the finish before that happens, but I definitely favor Taleb to utilize the rest of his MMA skills and get the victory. And I'm not sure it'll be as flashy or as exciting, but I think he gets the job done and can win a decision. So my pick is going to be Nordine Taleb. Now, sticking with the welterweight division, we have Belal Muhammad, who is 15-3, taking on Takashi Sato, who is 15-2. Now, Nick, what's the MMA Oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Muhammad opened -230, the comeback on Sato +170. And right now over at BetDSI, we are seeing Muhammad -370, Sato +287. So really not that surprised. Line climbed up a little bit more, nearly 4-1 right now over Sato. You know what it is? Sato's a very solid fighter. He's a very dangerous fighter as well. I mean, the guy definitely has some power. Even if the guy takes the fight to the floor, he's got good ground and pound, a little bit of ground awareness, obviously as well. So he's a pretty solid, improving fighter that's capable of knocking people on the feet. Defensively, there is a concern with Sato, though. That's definitely a glaring issue that he has, and he's hittable. And obviously, he's a bit chinny as well. But overall, it's more offense from him that's dangerous, and you got to keep your eye on. And, he's coming off of a very impressive win in his UFC debut over Ben Saunders. He got the job done there, and he did what he had to do, so you got to compliment him for that. He beat a very good, experienced fighter in Saunders, but let's not make any mistakes here. It's Saunders on the declining and towards the end of his career. So that said, Muhammad is not in that spot where he's a declining fighter. Muhammad has looked really good, honestly. I know that he kind of suffered a loss a couple fights back to Jeff Neal, but Jeff Neal is obviously a surging contender in his own right as well. But overall, the competition level, if you look at it, that Muhammad has faced and his style that he goes about these fights, I mean, he can strike with good strikers, and I mean, he can outpoint the strikers. He's got some knockout power, but more so than anything, against solid competition, he's able to outpoint a lot of the people that he does get in there with on the feet. And then if he needs to get a takedown or two, his wrestling is very underrated. He's got a good submission game that, he doesn't utilize all that much, but when he does need to, he has that in his back pocket and he can get it done as well. So it's another case where I just think Muhammad just has him outclassed. He's just a different level. He's a level above Sato. And Sato does have a puncher's chance here, so that's the caution, I think, of anything. I don't think Sato's going to win this fight on the cards. I think, like I said, he's going to have to land and catch Muhammad's chin and put him out if that's the way he's going to win it. Outside of that, Muhammad can hurt Sato, put him out. I think he could win on the scorecards as well. So it's really Muhammad's fight to win or lose. But we should mention as well, Muhammad at times, I mean, you can get through his defense, you can clip him in the chin, and you can rock him and hurt him. So that's, again, at 4-1, I don't know if that's a very smart move right now. I think the value has been pretty much gone, extracted from where it is right now, the line compared to the opener. So you be careful with that, because Sato does have a little bit of power, and he could definitely end people's nights quickly. So with all that said, Muhammad is a side for me.
And I'm in complete agreement. The main thing here is obviously Sato is a very dangerous, powerful striker. And if he connects with something nasty, Muhammad d- does not have a lot of durability, and he can absolutely get hit with something and get put out. So the puncher's chance is always going to be there for Sato for however long this fight lasts, and it very well could go, you know, there's going to be probably an option for him to get the finish all the way down to the last second, because I do think it goes to decision, because I think Belal Muhammad is by far the more well-rounded fighter of the two. Muhammad is, I think, the better technical boxer of the two. So Sato will be, you know, swinging some big shots, and I think Muhammad will be able to, you know, utilize his solid overall striking defense, avoid those shots, and, you know, land some of his excellent combinations. Muhammad doesn't even have close to the power that Sato has, but, you know, he makes up for it with good volume, good movement, and then also he mixes in takedowns. You know, this is a guy that really has been able to make a living in the UFC by beating opponents where they have their bigger weakness. And, you know, when he faces a really powerful, dangerous striker, he's able to avoid those big shots, get inside, work the clinch, work for takedowns. When he faces somebody that, you know, is a little bit more of a ground fighter, he works on the feet. I mean, that's really been how Muhammad has got his bread buttered in the UFC, and it's been impressive so far. Obviously, when he faces a really talented top, you know, 10, top 15 type of fighter, that's where Muhammad has his issues. And I think Sato, while he's dangerous and he has an impressive record, I don't think he's a top 10 or 15 fighter. But I think Muhammad is able to deal with it. I mean, he's faced guys that have the ability to knock him out with one punch throughout his career. And for the most part, he's been able to have a lot of success against those type of fighters. So I think this will not be any different. I think, honestly, even though Sato had a really impressive finish in his last fight, I didn't think he looked that good in the first round against somebody that's nearing the end of their career in Ben Saunders, that was kind of thrown in that matchup to be on the receiving end of a highlight reel knockout. And yeah, it eventually happened, but I think it didn't happen as fast as the UFC was hoping it would happen. So I think Belal Muhammad, as long as he avoids either a monster elbow or a monster haymaker or punch, he gets the job done. I think he wears Sato down. I think he can get takedowns. I think he can land, outstrike Sato over the course of three rounds. And I think he can most likely win a decision here. So Belal Muhammad is going to be my pick. Now, dropping down to the lightweight division, we have Teemu Pekkelen, who is 8-2, taking on Otman Azaitar, who is 11-0. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Azaitar opened -305, Pekkelen at +225. Right now, looking over at BetDSI, Azaitar -217, the comeback on Pekkelen at +177. So more action coming in again on the dog. Not really that surprised. I mean, Pekkelen is the guy that has the UFC experience thus far. I mean, he's a very solid fighter, more so the ground you have to worry about, obviously, with him than anything else. I mean, he's a very submission savvy guy. He has some takedown ability. He gets you on the ground. He has a great ground and pound, and he has the ability to finish. So anybody has to be wary about the ground game, obviously, of Pekkelen. I think that's where he excels the most, but he does have some length on the feet. He does have a little bit of power as well. So you can't take him exactly lightly, and he's improving that area, but ground is where it's at. So Azaitar has to avoid the ground game. I mean, he's making his UFC debut. His brother, obviously, also in the UFC, and he's got the fighting in his blood, man. I mean, this guy is exactly what you kind of think. His nickname is Bulldozer. He's a strong, shorter, stocky fighter. He's got knockout power on the feet. He comes after. He pushes a high pace, and he just comes forward and attacks. But the problem is he is hittable at times as well, and if any flaws in his game, it is that ground. You can, at times, I've seen him get put on his back. At times, you can take his back as well. So that's where he has to be careful, and that's the improvements that need to be made here more than anything else to be safe in this fight. He has to keep Pekkelen off of his back and avoid getting submitted by somebody that's definitely a ground specialist. So this is going to be an intriguing fight. I mean, Azaitar, I think, should be the rightful favorite because I think he can do what it takes to kind of sprawl, brawl, keep his distance, and then hurt Pekkelen on the feet, because that's, if anything, that is another flaw. He's got kind of tall man's defense, Pekkelen does, and he's hittable, and obviously he's been knocked out in the past, and Azaitar definitely has the power it takes to put him out as well. So I'm going to lean with Azaitar's power, but hits the ground, I'm going to definitely be sweating that a little bit as well as far as a pick goes, because I think that this is going to be a dangerous and a big test for Azatar in his UFC debut here. But I think if he fights smart, he could probably pass it. So my pick is Azatar to get it done.
Yeah, Pekelin is dangerous, as evidenced by his impressive performance against Thibaut Gaudi, but he followed that up by getting knocked out in 30 seconds. So, this is a guy that can win impressively and lose impressively. Zaitar is a fighter that I think is capable of making Pekelin lose impressively. Zaitar has a lot of power on the feet. He throws big flurries in combination. So, he can really wing it if he sees his opponent in trouble. I mean, if he hurts Pekelin at any moment, I think Pekelin is going to get swarmed and finished in a hurry. And if for some reason he's not able to have success on the feet, although I do think he definitely will, he does have some pretty explosive wrestling. That being said, potentially going to the ground here could be a mistake because Pekelin is a strong grappler. I would say that Zaitar is the better wrestler of the two, but Pekelin has better submissions. So if Zaitar does shoot for takedowns, he is playing with fire because, Pekelin could tap him from his back. He could potentially sweep him and put him in a bad spot. So if I'm a Zaitar's coach, I tell him only wrestle is a last resort if you get hurt on the feet, because Pekelin does have some power. I mean, he could find some success there potentially, but overall, I think on the feet, that should be Zaitar's world. I mean, this guy, he has the ability to hurt you with body kicks. He has the ability to hurt you with his hands. He is just out of his 11 wins, I believe, he has at least 7 knockouts. So, this is a guy that can clearly get the job done with his power. So, Pekelin, I think, could be in some trouble. He's a little bit chinny, as Nick mentioned, with that tall man defense. So he's hittable. And the other thing to think about is Pekelin has also not fought in a year and a half. I mean, his last UFC performance fight was March 2017. So he potentially could be really rusty here. So overall, I really do think Zaitar is talented. His brother's in the UFC. I think he potentially has more talent than his brother. So, this is a guy that could really make an impact, and this is a very exciting opportunity for him. And I think that the UFC is matching this fight up to make him look good against a potential rusty guy that's a little chinny. I think that the table has been set for a potential very impressive UFC debut. As long as Zaitar doesn't make any big mistakes, doesn't dive headfirst into a guillotine choke or something, that this is going to be an opportunity for Zaitar to get a quality victory, and I expect that he wins by knockout at some point. So my pick is going to be Ottman Zaitar. Now, dropping down to the women's bantamweight division, we have Sarah Morris, who is 5-5, taking on Liana Jojua, who is 7-2. Now, Nick, what's the MMA Oddsmakers perspective on this one?
Jojua opened minus 165, Morris plus 125. So right now, looking over at BetDSI, we're seeing Jojua at minus 164, Morris at plus 137. Line margins have tightened up. There's not a lot of crazy action coming into this fight. It's kind of a tough one. I mean, I'm not surprised. So it looked like it was a very solid opening line and it's holding steady. And a lot of people are confused which way to go here because Jojua is a very solid fighter. I mean, obviously she's a Russian fighter that's coming in that has a pretty well-rounded game. She's got a little bit of power on the feet. Nothing overwhelming though with her striking. I mean, she does push forward, comes in looking to attack, throws in combinations at times as well. And then when she lands, I mean, she does have a little bit of power. She does look to wrestle though, get takedowns. She has some ground and pound, has some good submissions as well. So that's what I mean. Another one of these just pretty much well-rounded MMA fighters, but she does have some holes in her game. She does make mistakes on the ground at times. She's capable of being reversed, getting in some submission trouble. And that's where, for me, it gets a little bit tricky here because obviously Morris is the type of lady that's going to be out there looking to get this fight to the ground and do what she does best, and that is her slick submission game. I mean, she's improving overall. We've seen that in her game. Her stand-up's getting a little bit better. Her takedown ability's getting a little bit better as well. But she's going to probably want this to go to the floor, and obviously she's going to want top position more so than anything else. But she does have some decent arm bars and capable of winning this fight and even transitioning off her back and getting top position. So Jojua has to fight very smart. I think she has to keep her distance again, try to keep this upright a little bit more. But I think for her, again, what gets a little bit dangerous is just her instinct. She goes for takedowns so often, I think she's going to want to take Moraes down. And if that's the case, she could find herself in a little bit of trouble if she's not careful. So it all depends on fight IQ here. I think Moraes is obviously the more proven veteran. So I think where the line is right now, it's fair. Jojoa should be a little bit more of a favorite, a slight favorite over Moraes is what I'm trying to say. But I can't trust her enough at this point to not make a mistake against a ground specialist when I think that's still her flaw is on the ground. So I'm going to pick Jojoa to get the W here over Moraes. But again, not a confident pick because stylistically, this could be a bad matchup for Jojoa.
Yeah, it's been a long time since Moraes tasted victory. She's currently on a three-fight losing streak inside the octagon, including her first stoppage loss to Macy Chiasson in May. And you know, overall, Moraes, you know, she's just not that talented of a fighter. She's not much of an athlete. She's not a very good striker. She doesn't have particularly good striking defense. What she has going for her is she has a pretty good ground game, but she also doesn't have the offensive wrestling to utilize that ground game. And she's not particularly great off of her back. So, you know, how is she going to be able to really get that ground game going is the big question here. And honestly, Jojoa, she's not half bad on the ground either. I mean, most of her wins have actually been by armbar. So, if this fight does go to the ground and Moraes does get top position, she still might get armbarred. Where the biggest difference in skill for these fighters is on the feet. While Jojoa doesn't have, you know, a ton of knockout power or anything, she's able to put together decent 1-2 combinations. She has a little bit of a kicking game. You know, she clearly should have the edge when these two are standing and trading on the feet. That being said, Jojoa does not have very good takedown defense, so even though Moraes is not a good wrestler, if she can get a hold of her, close the distance, she might be able to drag her down and get top position. And in watching some of Jojoa's fights, she hasn't had the easiest ability to get back to her feet because sometimes she's hunting for those submissions off of her back. And if she's not able to get it, you know, she could definitely lose rounds here. And that is a concern. So while I do favor Jojoa and that she has been on a nice little roll here to earn this opportunity in the UFC, I am a little bit concerned about what happens if she does get put on her back and if she decides to stay there too long and lose rounds if she can't get a finish. So I do think that Jojoa can get the win here by decision, but I am nervous that she could get put on her back or be on her back for too long and end up losing a decision that she should not have. So my pick is Jojoa, but I'm definitely going to exercise some caution here. Now, moving up to the featherweight division, we have Zubera Tukhugov, who is 18-4, taking on Lerone Murphy, who is 8-0. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Tukhugov opened -565, the comeback on Murphy +375. And right now looking over at BetDSI, we are seeing Tukhugov -323, the comeback on Murphy at +257. So line dropped a little bit. Murphy getting some respect. Tukhugov has a very popular name, as we all know out there. He's definitely respected amongst the diehard MMA fans. We know what kind of fighter he is, what kind of training partners he has, you know, associated with Khabib and crew. He was suspended, obviously, from the Conor McGregor incident. So he's had some time off now. Coming off that loss to Moicano, which was a kind of an eye-opener a little bit because we saw some flaws in Tukhugov's game a little bit more so in that fight. But again, against a top contender, Moicano. So I think he's got some motivation, and obviously he's been probably training pretty steady, waiting to come back here. So Tukhugov has some skill, man. I mean, he's got some power on the feet. He's got some wrestling. You know, your typical, again, kind of Russian fighter that's capable of outstriking his opponents and doing damage on the feet, and his wrestling is up to par with most. So Tukhugov is a very talented fighter. I'm intrigued by Murphy, though. I got to say that, man. His size alone and the skill set that he does have, this guy's a striker first. He's got power. He's got some athleticism to go along with it. He's developing overall his game. He's getting some wrestling in there. He's got some good ground and pound, and he's got some submission skills. So again, another guy that's training actually at a decent camp, All Powers Gym. And the UK obviously is actually a pretty decent camp that's got a lot of momentum going for them right now as well. So I think he's got decent training partners to go in there and train with, and every day he's learning and getting better. And obviously the UFC thinks pretty highly of him, putting him in here against a fighter like Tukhugov. I don't think they're going to bring him in if they thought he was just going to get totally destroyed right away here. So Tukhugov is the rightful favorite, and obviously he's farther ahead. Again, we're talking about experience level here. There's no question Tukhugov is the more experienced fighter across the board, and I think he's going to actually try to utilize some wrestling here against Murphy too, because Murphy's best path to victory in this fight obviously is to try to keep this upright and do some damage on the feet. He does have some length, he does have some power, and he could do some damage. And we have seen Tukhugov start to slow down as the fight progresses a little bit. So this could get interesting the longer it goes a little bit. So I think at the current price, it's still a dog or pass situation. The opener was definitely high. Not enough respect went out towards Murphy. I think even though that, he doesn't have the experience Tukhugov has, he's an undefeated prospect that's definitely got some hype coming in with, again, good training partners and a lot going for him at this point. So I like his size. I like his power. I definitely think that it's an intriguing dog bet for sure. And I think Tukhugov, if he has not really hit the gym hard and made some improvements to his overall game, this could be a lot tougher fight than everybody thinks. So make no mistake, though, I'm not going to pick Murphy to beat him straight out. I think Tukhugov is a rightful favorite, and he should be the rightful pick to win this fight based on his experience and based on the caliber of fighter he is, because he's not just your, overall featherweight fighter. I mean, just your average kind of run-of-the-line featherweight fighter. He's definitely a top-tier featherweight fighter. So Murphy's coming into this fight trying to do something that's going to be really tough to defeat a level like this with Tukhugov in the UFC debut. But I think he's definitely going to be game, and I wouldn't be shocked if he does pull off the upset win. So the early dog action, I think, was justified, and it's still a dog or pass situation. But the pick for me has to be Tukhugov.
And I'm actually going to come in the other way. Nick laid out the game plan, the possibility for Murphy to get the victory, and I actually think he can pull it off. You got to remember, Tukhugov, while he did start off his UFC career with this huge wave of hype, he was really starting to hit, some roadblocks, heading into his last couple fights. After a very strong start, including a finish over Chavez, he ended up having just barely squeaking by Felipe Nover with a split decision. Then he loses a split decision to Moicano with his next fight. Then he has a failed drug test. Then he has that whole UFC 229 fiasco where he ended up getting suspended for a very long time. He was in huge trouble for, entering the cage and throwing punches and not even being involved in the fight. And so, it's been 3 years since he's fought, and his last two fights were not that particularly impressive. So I definitely feel like the momentum has come to a screeching halt on his hype train. Although he is still a talented fighter, his star has started to fade big time. Murphy, on the other hand, this is a guy with some talent. He has some power. He has some size. He has some good kicks, elbows. He's good in the clinch. So I think not just at distance on the feet that he'll have success, but I think if they close the distance on the feet, at least while they're still standing, he can really do some damage here. My main issue is if Tukhugov can get the wrestling and ground game going, which, they are things that he possesses, but he normally likes to stay standing. And while he does have some power, he wasn't able to finish somebody like Moicano, who, well, is talented, but Moicano has, some durability concerns with some quick TKO defeats in recent fights. So I feel like, if Murphy is able to avoid that big shot, if Murphy's able to avoid being put on his back, he's going to be prime for an upset here. Murphy is really, really talented on the feet. This guy, he's no joke coming into the UFC at 8-0. He is a solid addition to the UFC featherweight roster. And as Nick mentioned, they're not just throwing him in here against somebody with a name like Tukhugov for a UFC debut, just because. They think that he can compete. So, this is a guy that could immediately, enter, the top 20 or top 25, fighters in the division with a victory here, and then start, vying up for ranked opponents if he can get the job done. And I think he can. I think he can win a decision. I think it'll be tough to get a stoppage. Tukhugov is pretty durable. So I think Murphy can outpoint him over the course of three rounds. It's just going to be, for me, about avoiding the big shots and about avoiding the ground game. And to Hugov, he may definitely, if he starts getting stung a little bit on the feet, he can definitely switch it up and potentially, you know, completely change the game plan and go to the ground. But, and that's where there's, you know, definitely some concern here, but I think Murphy can get the job done. So I'm going to pick him to win 2 out of 3 rounds at least and get the decision. So Murphy's going to be my upset pick. Now, dropping down to the women's flyweight division, we have Joanne Calderwood, who is 13-4, taking on Andrea Lee, who is 11-2. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Lee open -165, the comeback on Calderwood at +125. Right now over at BetDSI, it's Lee -227, Calderwood +187. Not surprised. I mean, Angela Lee, a very popular fighter right now, and rightfully so. I mean, she's got the looks. She's got the ability. She's so far been really impressive in the UFC. And I think she's just constantly growing her fan base overall. I mean, the girl can fight on the feet. She has a good ground game. She's got good wrestling. Really, the UFC could give her an enormous push. And this is a solid fight for her to kind of make herself announced as a potential title contender here if she gets a win over a solid fighter like Calderwood, obviously. So the UFC likes her. They're backing her, obviously. But Calderwood could come in here and steal all the thunder and steal all the momentum from Lee. I think Calderwood has honestly been nothing but impressing me. Even in her losses, she's impressed me. Meaning, Chookagian, I don't think beat her, honestly. I think that fight should have went to Calderwood. It was a close fight. But outside of that, she won a couple fights before that. You could start really seeing the progress in her game. She's getting better with her wrestling. She's getting a little bit better defensively on the feet. I think early part of her UFC career, you could tell she was kind of shying away from – offensively, she was okay on the feet, but she was shying away from punishment in return. And now she's just kind of fighting through it, pushing forward, even more aggressive. I think she's a little bit more durable. She's fighting a lot smarter. So I think she's doing great things. I mean, and I see the real improvements in her game. And I think confidence wise right now, she's kind of hit her groove as well. Even though she lost her fight to Chookagian, I know she realizes, everybody realizes that was a close fight. She could have easily won. So this is an awesome fight, really. I mean, a lot of momentum, I think, going on both ladies' sides right now. Obviously more so for Lee because she's officially coming off of a win. And again, all the hype and the backing that the UFC has behind her. This is going to be close though. I think Calderwood again is going to kind of push her to the limit as this fight goes. It's hard not to side with Lee, but again, I wouldn't lay over 2-1. On Andrew Lee over Calderwood at this point, because I think it's another fight that could hit the scorecards and we'll see another competitive 29-28 type of split decision type of fight. So there's no way I would lay 2-1 in this fight. A lot of the high caliber lady fights that we see are competitive. They do hit the scorecards and judges are all over the place with them. So that's why I don't think it's a good idea to lay that kind of chalk. It's another spot where I think you look at the dog or you just stay away from it. But right now I'm siding with Andrea Lee because I think overall she can outpoint Calderwood just enough. And I think that Calderwood definitely has to be careful on the ground. Even though she's improving her ground game, I think that's an area that Andrea Lee is still ahead of Calderwood is on the ground, especially offensively with her submission game. So it's going to be intriguing to see how this plays out. I think it's going to be Lee with a slight edge on the scorecards, and she gets a very competitive split decision type of win.
Yeah, this fight definitely should be competitive because both fighters have very similar skill sets. Both are talented strikers. Both have some pop. Both have a pretty strong offensive output. Both throw at a decent volume and pace. Both have improved defense. Both have improving ground games. Calderwood especially has improved her wrestling and submission skills compared to what she was when she was earlier in her UFC career. And Lee has always been pretty dangerous on the ground with decent wrestling and the ability to get some finishes on the canvas. So, you know, how will this fight really boil down? It could come down to physicality. And, you know, while Calderwood has definitely looked strong at 125 pounds, you got to remember, she has fought at 115 before, and I don't think Andrea Lee could. I think Lee is going to be a little bit bigger. She's going to have a 4-inch reach advantage, which could definitely come into play here between two talented strikers. You know, being able to get that shot in with potentially not getting hit back, that could be huge for Lee. You know, Calderwood definitely is going to make this close because both fighters are so evenly matched, but I think Lee does have a little bit of momentum here. I mean, she's looked very strong so far in her UFC career, particularly great performance against Montana De La Rosa in June. And I think she's definitely on that path to title contention for sure. I think she gets a win here, maybe one more, and she could be fighting for the belt. I think Calderwood is a little bit further away. She had that stumble against Chookagian, even if you argue that she should have won. She made it closer than it should have been potentially. So, I do think that Lee is just a tiny bit better than Calderwood, even though that they are very evenly matched. I think the reach advantage is going to come into play. I think Lee will be able to land a little bit more often than Calderwood on the feet. I think if it does go to the ground, yes, Calderwood does have improved wrestling, but I think Lee overall still has the ground edge. So, while I do think that this could end up going to like a close decision, I still favor Lee. I think it may even end up being a split decision, but I think she gets the job done just barely with the reach advantage, landing a couple good clean strikes. I think she could bloody Calderwood up with her nose or something, just kind of help sway it just enough to her side and end up getting a decision victory on the judges' scorecard. So my pick is going to be Andrea Lee. Now moving on to the pay-per-view main card, we have a lightweight contest between Merbek Taisimov, who is 27-5, and Diego Ferreira, who is 15-2. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Taisimov opened -385, the comeback on Ferreira at +265. But right now, looking over at BetDSI, it's Taisimov currently sitting at -286, a comeback on Ferreira at +231. So line margins have tightened up. There is two-way action in this fight. Early on, it was a little bit dog action. Now we're starting to see some action back on Taisimov. He's in parlays as well. Of course, he will be. I mean, honestly, Taisimov should be a top 10 UFC lightweight right now. His ability overall, his performances have been nothing but impressive. I haven't been really – since his UFC debut, I haven't been riding the guy high as far as like quality and skill. I've been underrating him a little bit, but Brian, on the other hand, has been all over him. I mean, from his debut, he said, man, this guy is, you know, a future champion. I'm telling you, he's been right about him. So I've been underrating him a little bit, and he continues to prove me wrong. Taisimov goes out there and just outperforms my expectations every time out. So the guy is just a very talented fighter. And again, this is another big step towards the right direction for him, I think. And he continues his momentum going, then he will be in that kind of title mix sooner than later. So a lot of important things riding on this fight for Taisimov, I think. And he's got his hands full with Ferreira. Ferreira is a very capable fighter in his own right and a very solid fighter. So this is a great fight. I'm really looking forward to it. But if, as far as skill set goes, obviously Taisimov is a pretty complete fighter everywhere the fight takes place. He's got really solid wrestling, defense. Outside of that fight with Prezeris, you know, years back where Prezeris was able to control him on the ground a little bit, we haven't seen that side of Taisimov since. And man, the devastating knockout power that he has and his IQ overall, the speed, everything about him, you got to love where he's at right now in his career. So Taisimov is legit. There's no mistaking that. And I've, again, underrated him and under kind of questioned him throughout his career thus far. But make no mistake, I realize what kind of quality fighter the guy is right now. And he has, again, his hands full, though, with a guy like Ferreira. And I'm looking forward to this because I think Ferreira is another one of these guys that continues to kind of overachieve in some ways. He's underrated as well. I mean, I haven't underrated him. This is a guy that I know that has been quality. I mean, I think he's had a couple performances that are kind of head scratchers, of course. Darius, that performance, I mean, he was controlled by Darius. Darius was kind of more in his prime back then. That was a few years back, so you got to understand that. And of course, Dustin Poirier fighting for the championship on this card. So those were his losses. The rest of the time, I mean, this guy has found his groove. You know, he has the ability to take the fight to the floor. He's got knockout power on the feet. Where he excels out the most, honestly, is the ground, though. I think it's his underrated wrestling, his top position, his ground and pound, and his submission game, man. He's got a sick guillotine choke. He's got such a smooth jiu-jitsu game. I mean, he slices through people's defense and just does what he wants to people on the ground. So that's where it's at with him. Now, of course, on the feet, he is a threat because he's got that punching power, and he's not a bad striker. I just think he tends to get a little bit sloppy at times, and with a guy like Taisimov is where you can get a little bit of trouble because Taisimov is such an accurate, solid, composed fighter on the feet, and that's why it's hard not to pick him in this spot because Taisimov does typically have great takedown defense, and if he's able to keep this upright against a guy like Ferreira, then you would think he should be able to outpoint Ferreira at least, or do enough damage and, you know, maybe even possibly finish him, because Ferreira does have that kind of chink in his armor, which is, defensively speaking, he gets hit a little bit too much, because he does start to get aggressive on the feet and it leaves openings, and you cannot do that with a guy like Taisimov. So this is a tough one, because I always like what I see with Ferreira. I think he's capable of beating most guys in this weight class in the lightweight division. I mean, I love his skill set, and as a dog, he's always, always intriguing. So I'm not going to bet against him, that's for sure. I'm not going to lay the chalk on Taisimov here, but it's kind of hard not to think that Taisimov does probably get through that defense and do some damage along the way and win the fight. So I'm going to pick Taisimov to win, but this is another spot. I mean, there's a lot of these fights on this card that's – the chalk is a little bit – too high, and you guys got to be cautious. I know that they're supposed to win, obviously, some of these favorites, like a guy like Taisimov, but some of their competition can definitely present a problem and a threat. And I just think there's a lot of fights ahead the rest of this year, and there's a lot of great fights on this card, obviously, as well. But pick your spots. You don't have to kind of force anything. And laying serious chalk over a guy like Ferreira could be get you in some serious trouble, put it that way. So the pick is Taisimov, but Ferreira is always game.
And I'm right with you. Taisimov has been nothing but impressive in his UFC run so far, and he has some quality victories now. He has knockouts over Alan Patrick, Demir Hadzovic, Felipe Silva, and then most recently had a decision win against Des Green a year ago. This is a guy that has won 6 fights in a row inside the octagon. Overall, he's 7-1 in the UFC, and his only loss was when he was sick. Taking on Michel Prezeris, who is one of the biggest lightweights that ever fought in the UFC and is now fighting a weight class up, and is still finding success on the ground a weight class up. So I don't even blame him for that loss. This is a guy that could be a title contender for sure. He just needs to be a little bit more active and get out there and take care of business against some top talent. And this is definitely an excellent matchup. Because Carlos Diego Ferreira, or I guess Diego Ferreira now, is a dangerous fighter. I mean, this guy, I thought that he was in trouble at one point in his UFC career when he had lost the 2 fights in a row. But, you know, they were two really strong fighters. You know, Beneil Dariush at that time was, a top 15 fighter. And then Dustin Poirier now is the interim champion. You know, this is a really strong, strong 2 losses in a row. It didn't hurt him. And since then, he's bounced back with 4 wins in a row. They're quality wins. Jared Gordon, Olivier Aubin-Mercier, Kyle Nelson, and then most recently gets a decision against Khabalov. A guy that it's very difficult to win a decision against. So, you know, this is definitely a battle of 2 guys with a ton of momentum in the lightweight division. Overall, in terms of striking, I say Taisimov should definitely have the edge. I mean, this is a guy with lightning in his fists. And if he can connect with something nasty, he can definitely get a knockout victory here. Ferreira has been finished on the feet before by Poirier. You know, Poirier obviously is one of the better strikers and with some of the best power in the lightweight division. And but Taisimov, I think, is right there with him in terms of power and explosiveness. You know, this is a guy just with lightning in his hand. So if Taisimov can connect with something nasty, he can win this fight at any moment. That being said, Ferreira might possess the ability to get this to the floor, take advantage, because while Taisimov is extremely talented on the feet and does have pretty good takedown defense, if he has a flaw, his 1 UFC loss, he was taken down repeatedly, and he was, beat up a little bit on the ground and losing that decision to Prezeris. So, and Ferreira is an extremely strong grappler. I mean, this guy has pretty good wrestling and elite ground skills in terms of submissions and transitions and sweeps and you name it. So if this fight goes to the floor, if Ferreira is able to close the distance and drag this to the ground, there is a huge path to victory here for Ferreira. That being said, Taisimov has shown really good ability to sprawl and brawl throughout his career. Alan Patrick repeatedly was trying to get takedowns, and Taisimov was just thwarting every attempt and then just destroyed him and ended up getting a TKO. Marcin Vandel was known for his leg locks and, was trying to get this fight to the ground and boom, got crushed in a minute. So, there are multiple fighters that Taisimov has faced that are strong wrestlers that have good ground games, and he's really made them look bad. So if Lahaya gets really desperate trying to get this fight to the floor, he could be exposed here. I mean, he really has to compete on the feet, make Taisimov believe that, you know, this is going to be a good back and forth competitive battle in the stand up, and then that look for that opportunity to get the fight to the floor. He can't just, you know, haphazardly rush in. So the path is there for Fahea, for Ferreira, but I do think that Taisimov does land that big shot. I think the durability, there are some durability questions a little bit with Ferreira, and I think that Taisimov has the power to take advantage of that. So I think that Taisimov can win. I think that Taisimov can win by knockout. So my pick is going to be Mirbek Taisimov. Now moving all the way up to the heavyweight division, we have Curtis Blaydes, who is 11-2, taking on Shamil Abdurakhimov, who is 20-4. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Blaydes -275, Abdurakhimov +195 was the opening line. And right now over at BetDSI, we are seeing Blaydes coming in at -500, the comeback on Abdurakhimov at +367. So no hesitation in laying the chalk on Blaydes. Of course not, man. The guy obviously is one of the best heavyweights on the planet. He showed some serious improvements so far in his UFC career. His wrestling alone, I mean, at times, you know, you start to question it early on in his UFC career. How good is this guy's wrestling really? But then as his career progressed, obviously, we've seen nothing but, you know, improvements, and we've got those questions answered. He is definitely one of the most dominant wrestlers in the sport today. And his ability to get some of these big guys down to the floor and just have his way with him is unbelievable. Now, his striking is not bad on the feet. He's capable of doing okay damage. Obviously that's not what he wants to do against very gifted or talented strikers. Abdurakhimov is kind of one of those guys you got to be careful about. He does have some knockout power, and he's a savvy vet. So on the feet, even though I think they could exchange and be close, that's not where Blaydes wants to put this thing. He wants to get this fight to the floor. And on the floor, he wants to do what he does best and drop some bombs. And I think Blaydes is obviously capable of doing that. I mean, he's been able to do that against, I think, better fighters thus far. So I don't think Abdurakhimov has what it takes to stuff the takedowns and keep this upright. And I think Blaydes is just basically going to have his way with him once he does get it to the floor, even though Abdurakhimov is not going to be an easy out. On the feet, it's Abdurakhimov's path to victory. He could possibly catch Blaydes' chin. I think Blaydes, I don't know if you want to call him. Obviously, he is a little bit concerning on the feet when he gets tagged. He's been rocked. He's been knocked out, obviously, in Ngannou, whatever you could say there. I mean, those were his two finishes, stoppages. So I don't know if it's really fair to say he's chinny, but defensively, he can get clipped. He can get hurt. So Abdurakhimov does have that kind of power. And that's, again, where the concern would be at all in this spot. But I think Blaydes is just going to be too dominant. Obviously, everybody coming in believes the same thing, you know, not hesitating to lay that chalk. Blaydes eventually will get a title shot, I believe, and deservingly so. The guy is definitely one of the best heavyweights on roster, and he continues to improve. And I could see that fight by fight, this won't be any different. I think he continues to kind of, you know, with that rise and gets another solid win over a very good fighter in Abdurakhimov. So for me, it's Blaydes.
Yeah, this one's going to be short and sweet because the path to victory has already been set to beat Abdurakhimov in the UFC, and it is literally the way Curtis Blaydes fights. Abdurakhimov, he's strong on the feet. He's decent on the ground, especially if he can get top position. He has a good kicking game on the feet. He's decent in the clinch. He's good just about everywhere, but he's not good off of his back. And you saw that in his UFC debut when he started strong, then got dumped on his back by Tim Johnson and smashed with ground and pound. Then against Derek Lewis, again, he was fighting a smart fight. He was, you know, trying to do everything he could to not get put on his back and smashed on the ground. And then late in the fourth round, put on his back, smashed with ground and pound, ends up losing the fight by TKO both times. And Curtis Blaydes, by far the best wrestler he's faced in the UFC yet. Better than Johnson, better than Lewis, big time. Blaydes might not have the ground, quite as good ground and pound as Lewis, but he has better ability to maintain top position. And the second that Curtis Blaydes puts Abdurakhimov on his back, this fight is over. So Abdurakhimov is going to have a puncher's chance, but he doesn't have that devastating knockout power that Ngannou has, which Ngannou has been the only person that's ever been able to beat Blaydes. He's beat him twice in the UFC so far and handed him both of his career losses. Everybody else has not been able to stop the takedowns, has ended up on their back and either TKO'd or decisioned. And I think Curtis Blaydes dumps Abdurakhimov on his back and TKOs him probably in the first round. So my pick is going to be Curtis Blaydes. I think he gets the job done. Now dropping down to the lightweight division, we have Islam Makhachev, who is 17-1, taking on Davi Ramos, who is 10-2. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Makhachev opened -405, the comeback on Ramos at +285. And right now what we're seeing over at BetDSI is Makhachev -370, Ramos at +287. So line margins have tightened up a little bit. Holding steady over a solid fighter, Makhachev is the guy right now. I mean, it's impressive. And you know what? I think it's kind of right, too. Ramos is definitely a very good fighter. He's a dangerous fighter, obviously. He's a ground specialist. He's got that jiu-jitsu, you know, background that he's just, high caliber, world-class jiu-jitsu skills that he gets you on the floor. I mean, he just, again, talk about slicing through people on the ground. That's what he could do to you on the ground. No, there's no doubt. But he's got that short, stocky frame. He's got that punching power. His striking's actually getting a lot better. I mean, offensively on the feet, you got to be careful with this guy. He's no joke. So combine that with his decent wrestling and then again, that elite level ground, the guy is a threat everywhere the fight takes place these days. But still, this is a big step up. I think Makhachev is honestly one of the best lightweights on the roster right now, and that's saying a lot. I mean, this guy continues to impress. He can outgrind you. I think he's going to be the more consistent striker throughout the three rounds. I think Ramos can have his spots and maybe a little bit more dangerous. But I think even if this plays upright, which obviously Makhachev is going to want to consider this, he's going to have a little bit of length and he's going to have the edge on the feet overall, landing consistently on Ramos. Ramos tends to fade a little bit more as well. So I think at least two out of three rounds is going to go to Makhachev here because I think he's going to fight the smarter fight, and I don't think Ramos is able to finish him. So that's why I'm going to pick him. But as far as, again, danger goes, I mean, Ramos could land a big punch on the feet. He's got that knockout power, and or he could just, you know, possibly rock Makhachev real quick on the feet and then hop on a submission and get it done that way. It's possible. I mean, that's the danger with laying almost 4-1 chalk right now on Makhachev. So again, maybe another unbettable fight at this point. You know, you hate to say it, but I mean, that's just the reality. I think Makhachev does win this fight. I think he is the better fighter, but I think Ramos is dangerous enough to kind of keep me away and not want to go crazy on Makhachev as well. So the pick for me is Makhachev, which should be an intriguing fight. If Ramos comes into this fight and does win this fight in impressive fashion, man, you got to definitely take your hat off to him. And we can consider him a legit threat at lightweight. But I'm not just sold on him quite yet, even though he has looked impressive.
Makhachev is definitely an elite lightweight in the UFC. And this fight's a potential trap fight for him because, you know, this is a guy with extremely strong grappling skills, has been able to out-wrestle and out-grapple a bunch of really talented ground fighters in his UFC run with, TKO victory against Gleison Tibau, out-grappled Chris Wade, Nick Lentz, two really strong ground fighters. Taking on guys with a good striking, out-grapples them, takes on guys that, he's very, very talented, but there have been a couple holes in his game. Obviously, in his lone career loss, he was screwing around on the feet against a talented striker in Adriano Martins, and threw a big, wide, spinning attack, left himself exposed, ate a huge punch on the feet, and ended up getting knocked out. So, chin issue, potentially, and Ramos does throw very hard on the feet. So, I mean, if Ramos connects with something nasty, he could knock him out. Also on the ground, while Makhachev is an elite wrestler with incredible grappling ability, I mean, Ramos is a world champion level Brazilian jiu-jitsu player. I mean, in terms of submission ability and Brazilian jiu-jitsu, this is one of the best grapplers in the entire roster, potentially one of the best in the UFC. So this could get really, really interesting on the ground. I mean, the scrambles in this fight could be unbelievable. I mean, Ramos, I believe, this guy won a world championship with a flying armbar against in the championship match. So, man, this guy is capable of doing some incredible things on the ground. And he's been able to utilize his ground game. He's got three submissions in his last four fights. I'm really looking forward to what happens when this fight hits the ground. Now, Makhachev is the deserved favorite because he's beat better competition. He's gone in there against really strong ground fighters and he's out-grappled them. But Ramos is no joke. And Makhachev should not have much of an edge on the feet either, because, you know, when he is forced to stand, you know, he's not that great of a striker. He's made improvements. But as evidenced by when he was screwing around against Martins, I mean, he can get hurt for sure. So I do not agree with the current line. I mean, if there's any bet in this fight, it's probably on Ramos to get, you know, either a decision or potentially Ramos inside the distance. Maybe he catches him with something. That being said, you know, if in terms of, like, how often I think someone wins the fight, even though Makhachev is, like, a 4-1 favorite, I favor him, like, 55, maybe 60% of the time. So I'm going to still pick Makhachev to get the job done. But Ramos is absolutely a live dog. Do not sleep on him. He definitely could shock the world on Saturday. So my pick is Makhachev, but again, I am staying away from this fight. Now, moving on to the co-main event of the evening, also in the lightweight division, we have Paul Felder, who is 16-4, taking on Edson Barboza, who is 20-7. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Barboza open -175, the comeback on Felder +135. Right now, over at BetDSI, we are seeing Barboza down to -147, the comeback on Felder +122. Live margins have tightened up a little bit. Two action will continue to come in this fight. Awesome fight, man. I mean, two of the better strikers for sure at lightweight. I think it's hard not to be impressed by either guy if throughout their UFC careers thus far. I mean, Barboza, unfortunately for him, when he got on his little losing streak, he's lost actually three out of the last four fights. And the one win that he did have in between there was the win over Daniel Hooker, which was an insane fight. And that's obviously still a quality win because Hooker's legit. But of course, he's coming off that knockout loss to Gaethje in his last fight. And then the wrestling of Kevin Lee and Khabib did him in the other two losses. So styles make fights, and this should be an exciting one because these guys like to stand and bang. And I think that Barboza, obviously an elite level striker, more than capable of picking people off. Those leg kicks are amongst the best, you know, that we've ever seen in the octagon. I mean, obviously his kicking in general is, I mean, his precision, just the power accuracy. He's just such a great fighter. So he definitely has a striking edge over Felder. He has a striking edge over most people that he steps in the octagon with. I mean, pure technical skill set goes, he's amazing. But that said, Felder's a very smart fighter, a striker in his own right. I mean, he's a complete fighter. He's become more complete. Obviously he's training with Duke Rufus and crew for a while now. And I think that's done wonders to his game. I think his, analytic abilities, I mean, he breaks down fights and obviously he's working for the UFC as well as an analyst, and he's doing great. And all that stuff actually helps you get sharper, I think, your mind, everything across the board. So that necessarily is kind of icing on the cake, I think, for his fight IQ and for his overall game. He knows, I think, what to expect and what to kind of look for more. And he's honestly just stepped up his game because of that as well. That's definitely helped. But outside of that, it's the work ethic that he's put in. It's his confidence and it's his ability. The guy hits hard on the feet. He's obviously capable of hanging in there with Barboza and even in a slugfest. I mean, I think Barboza has a speed edge and he is a better striker, but Felder has knockout power in the feet and Barboza has been knocked out before. He's a bit chinny. We know that. And he's coming off a knockout loss. So that's the danger in this fight as well. Is trusting Barboza on the scorecards. I think Barboza can get this fight done. I think he can win it. I think he can edge out Felder, but in a 3-round fight with Felder being there, exchanging in the pocket and trying to test that chin of Barboza, it's a kind of a dangerous spot as well. So I've been kind of going back and forth on this fight myself because it is another dog or pass situation because I don't trust Barboza's chin. Now these guys obviously can knock each other out. Felder can also be here. I do trust his chin a little bit more, though, of the two for sure. I think he's still a little bit more durable in that aspect, but his body's been recently tested, and Barboza, if he exploits that, that's going to be interesting as well. A lot of intriguing factors again in this fight. So a dog or pass situation, no doubt about it. And I think I'm going to side with Felder in this spot. So obviously, again, you can tell I'm on the fence with this, and I'm going to make my pick Felder because I do like what I've seen with him lately. I'm not, you know, he had that injury to his lung recently after his last fight. So that's something to kind of take in consideration here. And, you know, with Barboza being the striker that he is, he could definitely exploit that. But I think still momentum-wise, I like where Felder is at this point. I think he can catch Barboza even if he's losing the fight and maybe knock him out. And I think Barboza is going to start eventually hitting that decline spot, and getting knocked out by Gaethje in his last fight certainly doesn't help that right now. So that's why if he didn't lose that fight to Gaethje, or if he didn't get knocked out at least and lost maybe a decision to Gaethje, I would probably pick Barboza. But coming off that devastating knockout loss and facing another guy that could come in here and mix it up with you and probably drop you as well, not a good sign. So I'm going to pick Felder to pull off the small upset win over Barboza.
The main issue here is this has already happened before. And I know that in rematches, you know, it can always go the other way. In fact, it goes the other way all the time in rematches. But in terms of where these guys have gone since they last fought, Barboza has done nothing but compete against the elite of the elite in the lightweight division since he faced Felder. And while he has had some stumbles along the way, I mean, you gotta look at who he lost to too. And, you know, Khabib took him down a ton. Kevin Lee took him down, ended up getting a cut stoppage. You know, Tony Ferguson ended up submitting him on the ground. So these were, you know, a lot of ground, wins. The only person that was able to stand with him and beat him was Gaethje, who just landed a big bomb and hurt him. So if Paul Felder is going to win, I don't think it's going to be on the feet. Yes, Barboza still has, you know, a chin that is not the best, but in terms of pure striking skill, Paul Felder, while he is a talented striker, when he faces better strikers than him, he loses. When he faced Barboza, he got outstruck, ended up on the losing end of a decision. Both guys were throwing a lot of flashy stuff, and Barboza's was clearly flashier. Barboza landed by far the better strikes, and Barboza won a decision. Felder lost when Ross Pearson tried to force him into a boxing match, and Pearson actually had the better boxing. Felder lost to Trinaldo when he got cut. And then Felder, when he faced Mike Perry, who is, you know, an underrated striker, and, you know, Perry was a little bit bigger than him, you know, Felder lost that as well. So, you know, he's game, but when he faces superior strikers, he can't beat them. If he's going to win, Felder needs to utilize where he's shown some improvement, which is his ground game. While his offensive wrestling isn't amazing, I do think Felder does have some decent submission ability. So if he can get this fight to the floor and get top position, that's where I think he gets the win. Because having to rely on landing that big shot, I think is unlikely, because while Barboza is, you know, does not have great durability, and if he does get clipped, he can be finished for sure. Relying on that it's tough, because Barboza knows that his chin is an issue and he protects it pretty well. I mean, he's faced a lot of good strikers over the course of his career, and not that many of them have landed that big shot and hurt him. It's really only when he gets into like these big firefights, that he gets caught. So, if Felder wants to try to knock him out on the feet, I mean, he needs to turn this into more of a knockdown drag out brawl. If the last time he tried to beat him technique wise, and it wasn't even close. So if he fights that same fight, I mean, he doesn't have a chance. But I mean, if he closes the distance and just makes this ugly, yeah, that definitely improves his odds. But overall, I don't think that Felder has the wrestling to put Barboza on his back. And I don't think he has the technique to outstrike Barboza and, hurt him on the feet and set up a finish there. So I think Felder ends up losing a decision again. So Edson Barboza is going to be my pick. Now moving on to the main event of the evening in the lightweight division, we have the champion Khabib Nurmagomedov, who is 27-0, taking on the interim champion Dustin Poirier, who is 25-5. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
I open Khabib -325, the comeback on Poirier +255. And again, the opening article can be found on MMAOddsBreaker.com. We open a bunch of fights on that article as well, so check it out. And it's on the opening odds article. It's linked in there as well, Adam Martin's piece. So check out the opening odds reactions for UFC 242, and you'll see what I'm talking about. All right, that said, again, open -325 +255 was the comeback. And right now, looking over at BetDSI, we are seeing -435 on Khabib and the comeback on Poirier at +331. So line margins have tightened up a little bit, and there is more action coming in on Khabib. But early on, it was Poirier getting some action. So there is legitimately two-way action coming into this fight, and it'll continue to come in that way. Now, as of late, it's been kind of climbing back up a little bit again. With more action coming in Khabib's way, the sports books are taking a lot of parlays. Of course, all the advertising and publicity that UFC is doing for this fight is definitely not hurting that at all, even the betting window. I mean, people recognize Khabib now. A lot of the general mainstream public realize, hey, that's a guy that beat Conor McGregor. So he's got to be able to win against Poirier, even though, you know, again, the diehard fans realize what kind of threat Poirier can be. But a lot of the casual fans will probably think Khabib is invincible right now. And you know what? Through his UFC career, obviously, at 27-0, not all in the UFC, but you know what I mean? Undefeated in the UFC, undefeated throughout his career. The guy, I mean, he seems invincible. The guy is such a dominant fighter on the ground. He's improving his stand-up game as well, but the ground is where it's at, and that's where he's going to want to try to exploit Poirier once again, is getting this fight to the ground and just mauling people like he does best. So this is going to be a challenge, though, because obviously Poirier is a very complete fighter. Striking is where it's at with him as well. On the feet, he is going to have the edge over Khabib, but can he keep it there, and can he do enough damage while it's there at times to you know, kind of sway the fight for him? Or if he gets put on his back, which a lot of us are assuming happens, can he maybe pull something off, reverse positions, and try to submit Khabib off his back? You know, so that's really the only way Poirier is going to win this fight, is trying to catch a sub off his back or landing something real quick on the feet. Outside of that, I mean, Khabib's going to be Khabib. He's going to typically do what he does best. Even if people have decent takedown defense, he finds a way to get the fight to the ground and start pounding away. And I think he's getting a little bit more vicious with his ground attack, honestly. I think he's becoming a little bit more devastating, if that's even possible. I think he's honestly on a different level now. If you're looking at some of his more recent fights, I mean, the guy's just becoming more nasty on the ground. So I think Khabib does what most of us think. I mean, the sharp bettors are going to be on this side, of course, as well. A lot of the public now, I'm saying the regular common casual public fan is going to just recognize Khabib's name and maybe throw him in parlays or whatnot. But a lot of the casual or more kind of split diehard fans are going to lean towards Poirier at the dog price, though, as well, because they've seen the guys that follow the sport kind of well, they're going to see what he's done, and the run that he's been on has been nothing but impressive. So Poirier deserves to be in the spot, make no mistake about it. And I think he is going to get some love and some action from a lot of the people that, again, are his fan base or outside of, you know, that think that he's definitely underrated at this spot as well, based on his recent performances. And yeah, you can make a case for those guys. I mean, Poirier, again, a very capable fighter. I mean, he's just, his skill set alone is very threatening in all areas. So you could definitely make a case that this line is a bit high. But that said, it's hard for me to imagine Poirier being the guy to kind of dethrone Khabib at this point. I think that, you know, typically speaking, against better wrestlers, more dominant wrestlers, Poirier in the past has had some issues in that department. And I don't think we've seen it as glaring recently, but it should kind of pop its head out again in this fight here against Khabib. So Khabib does what he does best, gets his fight to the ground, possibly finishes on the way. If not, then he'll win on the scorecard. So my pick is Khabib to win.
You know, back in 2002, you know, Cain Velasquez was fighting, and I was hosting this MMA talk show called The Verbal Submission, and I would like to have, you know, the head coaches of the fighters in the main event of a UFC pay-per-view on my show the next day. And I had Javier Mendez on from American Kickboxing Academy in December 2012. And after Cain had just fought for a big fight, and during the conversation, you know, I asked a question that people always ask coaches, or who's the next big thing coming out of your gym? And he says, you know, he didn't even hesitate. He goes, Khabib Nurmagomedov. You know, he's new to my gym. This guy is a freak. And this was, Khabib had only been 2-0 in the UFC, and he hadn't even been that impressive yet. He was coming off of that ugly win against Gleison Tibau, where I think he attempted like 30 takedowns and didn't get one. And it was just a clinch fest. It was just a terrible fight. So, you know, I was, you know, like, really? This guy? And since then, Khabib has beat, you know, Thiago Tavares, Abel Trujillo, Pat Healy, Rafael Dos Anjos, Daryl Horker, Michael Johnson, Edson Barboza, Ally Quinta, and Conor McGregor. I mean, and has just become one of the greatest fighters in the world. He's been unbelievable. So definitely was a prophetic there from Mendez. And Khabib's been able to do it with one skill that is just so strong, of his offensive wrestling. I mean, he gets a hold of people and he drags them to the ground. If he can grab, get to you, you are done. If he can back you into the fence, you're done. Because when he gets top position, he doesn't really give it up. very difficult to get back to your feet when Khabib takes you down. And then he just wears on you, whether it is a decision from top position over the course of five rounds, or he wears you down and gets a TKO or a submission. I mean, it's this tide that just keeps coming in and just taking a little bit more out of his opponent every round. And as we saw in his last fight against Conor McGregor, he's still improving on the feet. What he did when he knocked down McGregor was amazing. If you go back and look at the film, basically McGregor was bracing for a takedown attempt. Khabib changed levels and then stopped mid level change, wings a right overhand, an overhand right as McGregor drops his hands to try to stop a takedown, catches McGregor right on the chin and knocks him down. McGregor is such a better striker than Khabib, but because Habib's threat of the takedown is there, that makes him a threat on the feet too, because his opponent is constantly worried about the takedown. So, you know, kind of like how Chael Sonnen was able to have success on the feet against Anderson Silva. How in the world did that happen in their first fight? It's because Silva was worried about the takedown. That's how Sonnen has always been able to have success on the feet against people. But Khabib actually has power, a really good chin. He doesn't have, amazing striking technique, but he has enough. And I think that just makes him such a huge threat here, because Dustin Poirier can't just focus on takedown defense, because if that's all he's worried about, he's going to get clipped. Poirier does not have the greatest chin in the world. I mean, he does have his durability has been better since he moved up to the lightweight division, but this is still a guy that's been knocked down a few times throughout the course of his career, whether it was McGregor or Michael Johnson early in his lightweight run. So, Poirier also has been out-grappled. The Korean Zombie, in one of my favorite fights ever, ended up defeating Poirier by submission. So, if Nurmagomedov can get that wrestling going, I think that he'll win. If Poirier is too worried about the wrestling, he's going to eat a big shot and potentially get knocked out. Now, I'm not trying to discount Poirier either, because his rise has been unbelievable. I mean, this guy, the performance he put on against Max Holloway in his last fight was masterclass. I really thought that Holloway was going to wear him down over the course of five rounds, and Poirier just laid a beat down on him. It was the best striking performance of his career. His boxing has improved drastically. But again, when he was fighting Max Holloway, he wasn't worried about the takedown. This was pretty much a pure stand-up fight over the course of five rounds, and he was just focused on that. And Poirier is an elite striker with exceptional boxing skills and power in his right hand. I mean, Max Holloway has one of the best chins in MMA, and he had him in big trouble repeatedly. So, the path to victory here is kind of, Poirier is going to have to follow the guy that knocked him out, Michael Johnson. If you remember, I'd say the toughest fight Khabib ever had, where he was exposed at least a little bit, was when he screwed around on the feet the first round against Michael Johnson. And Michael Johnson landed some monster shots on him. I mean, I don't know if he rocked him, but he definitely had, Khabib thinking a little bit. And Johnson clearly won that first round against him. And Dustin Poirier, he was knocked out by Michael Johnson. He needs to use some explosive power, get in there, connect. If Khabib screws around early, he's been known to do that a little bit, Poirier could take advantage. That's his best path to victory, in my opinion. He needs to hurt Khabib as early as possible, really catch him off guard, be aggressive, go out there. Khabib, he definitely has the confidence, he has the swagger. I mean, he has the ability. He is the better, more well-rounded fighter at this point. But Poirier does have more power on the feet. Poirier is the better technical striker. So if Poirier can really just take the fight to Khabib early, before Khabib is thinking takedown, that's his best path to victory. He needs to try to take Khabib out right away, because if this fight goes five rounds, I don't think Poirier has a chance. He needs to win in the first round, I think. So that being said, I have to side with Khabib. I think the odds that Poirier is able to make that work are low, because even if Khabib does get hurt, maybe he just survives it, then grabs a leg, and you know what happens from there. So my pick's going to be Khabib. I think I think he wins it decision. I think Poirier will be tough to finish. I think Poirier is going to put up a great fight, but I think in the end it's going to be Khabib standing tall. So Nurmagomedov is my pick. So that'll do it for our full event breakdown for UFC 242. If we have a free play to give out, make sure to follow at MMAOBPremium on Twitter because that's where we'll post them first. We can also notify you of our free bets via email alert if you prefer that method. Just send an email to picks@MMAOddsBreaker.com and we'll add you to our free bet mailing list. Special thanks to BetDSI. Good luck, everyone, and hopefully the betting gods are on your side this weekend.